بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Inshallah, today we will be continuing with the 10th juz. We completed the entire 10th juz, which is inclusive of two surahs, Surah Anfal, and then thereafter is Surah Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the 10th juz by saying, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ اللَّهَ خُمُسَ. He starts discussing rules that have to do with spoils of war, about how certain portions are for orphans, the poor, the needy, the travelers, and for those people that were fighting. We're not going to go into any of this. So let's move forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah talks about primarily about the battle of Badr and other battles and other campaigns, including Surah Tawbah, that will be similar as well. And he told the Muslims that they should never have a very pompous and prideful attitude whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the rules of prisoners of war, those Muslims stuck in non-Muslim lands. And one interesting thing here is, there is an ayah in this surah that mentions that even Shaytan, at one point was forced to say, Inni akhafullah. That surely I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When did he say this? He said this when he saw the angel descending into the battle of Badr. Now for Shaytan, it took an army of angels to force Shaytan, to force him to actually say these words. But he said it nonetheless in the end. So now here's the question that is there for us. What is keeping us from saying these same words, and more importantly, adopting an attitude according to it? Shaytan said those words in that battle, and then he turned around and ran away. So he said those words, and he acted upon them too, of course in his own way. So what is stopping us from adopting those same words? Right now, we are in a pandemic. Is that not enough for us to also say, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are we also waiting for angels to come down? What else do we want to see? The entire world is engulfed in something. Like, what else do we want to see before we start saying we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well? Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to talk about the war and different rules. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a rule. He says, ذَذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً عَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a blessing, we are allowed to accept it and enjoy it. But if that blessing leads us to breaking the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will take that blessing away from us and possibly punish us either in this world or the next. This even applies to non-Muslims and polytheists, the mushrikeen. Because this ayah was actually talking about the mushrikeen. That in Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they would uphold justice. They would help the weak. They showed qualities of truth and justice. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the blessing of the Qur'an and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they changed to deceit, to dishonesty, and outright oppression of the weak. So in this battle of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took everything away from them, including their lives. Now in our current situation, we should reflect upon this ayah in two ways. There's a positive aspect to it, and then there's a negative aspect to it. First, the negative aspect, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away many, many blessings from us. We should ponder over our lives and ask ourselves, what are all the wrongs that we have committed in our lives? How far were we in staying away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, which led to this pandemic and us being distanced from even His masajid, which are the houses of Allah? We have been distanced from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a way, Allah ta'ala has expelled us from His home. We really need to ponder over this, that what is happening in the world today with Muslims. And the positive way to take this ayah is that Allah Ta'ala has given us the blessing of more time. There is a blessing too. We have more time. Now right now we have this blessing. If we do not utilize this blessing in properly serving Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala may take this blessing away from us as well. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari where Rasulullah SAW says, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. There are two blessings regarding which the majority of people are deceived. That they're deceived about these two blessings. They have them, but they don't realize it. What are those blessings? As-sihha, health, being healthy, especially for the ones that have not been afflicted by this disease. Wal-faragh, and free time. Free time. That is one of the blessings we've been given. So we should all ponder over it and make sure we live our life accordingly. Moving forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about many decisions during the Battle of Badr and different things that happened. We'll just move forward to Surah Tawbah. Surah Tawbah, the name, it has two names. It's called Surah Tawbah and also Surah Bara'ah. Tawbah, of course, means when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces his Tawbah for those Muslims that may have erred in different battles. And specifically, he's referring to three Sahabas. We're not going to go into their story. The surah is also called Bara'ah. Bara'ah means when you completely disassociate yourself from someone. In this surah, right from the first ayah, Allah announces his disengagement and his disassociation with the believers and polities of Mecca, making Hijaz, the areas around Mecca and Medina, the official land for the Muslims, which we do not need to get into anyway. This surah does not have a Bismillah. There are many reasons for that. One of the primary reasons is because if you look at the topic of the previous surah, Surah Anfal, and the topic of Surah Tawbah, they all seem to be talking about the same. It's almost as if it's the same surah. Surah Anfal and Surah Tawbah look like they're one surah because of the topic. But there are other reasons too. We'll just move forward. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses many battles. The Battle of Hunayn, which is a place between Mecca and Taif, where Rasulullah had to fight the people of Banu Saqif. Muslims were 14,000. They were 28,000, and they ended up being on top. The Muslims had some pride in them, which led to them being attacked, surprisingly, by the non-Muslims. I'm not going to go into the battle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that never have pride, no matter what your numbers are. They became a bit like, because they had such high numbers and they won different battles and they took over Mecca, that thought came into their mind. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us also in the surah that قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ and all the way to the end of the ayah, that Allah ta'ala tells us that when it comes to prioritizing our life, that we have different things we want to do every day. When it comes to prioritizing them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his prophet, and making a physical struggle in his path is above everything else that we are prioritizing. But he specifically tells us in this ayah which things should never ever take priority over Allah ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in a way, you can divide these things into two categories. First category of things that should not take priority over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, family. He tells us that about آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم. Your parents, your children, your siblings, your spouses, and your family members. They cannot take priority over Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second thing, more importantly, especially in this situation, are finances. He talks about three things. أموالٌ اقترفتموها, the wealth that you have gathered. Any investments or businesses that you may have, and you are fearing that تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, that if you prioritize Allah and His Prophet ﷺ and their command, you're going to have a loss in that business or in that investment. Allah SWT saying, don't do that. And thirdly, our houses that we hold dear to us. So our family and our finances should never be a priority over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Rasul ﷺ, or their commands. So getting back to this, that if any of these are given priority because we think that if we follow a certain command of Allah Ta'ala, then we might face negative consequences in our family or wealth, then Allah Ta'ala says to simply wait for, at the end of the ayah, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ مُوتِ. That's your case, if that's your situation, wait for death to come because these people are sinners. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ And Allah does not guide sinners. Right now in this pandemic, where have you placed your priorities? Where have all of us placed our priorities? Many are suffering financially, so have we started to give priority to our family and finances while compromising on our religious duties? Have we started to step into things that are questionable, doubtful, possibly haram, because we're trying to compromise on the deen for the sake of our family and for the sake of our own money? Compromising on the sunnah, compromising on our social conduct because of the fear we have from this pandemic. That is something we should ask ourselves. Then throughout the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the campaign of Tabuk. Rasulullah ﷺ took many of the Sahabas all the way to the border of Syria because they heard the Byzantine Empire may have possibly been thinking of attacking. No fighting actually happened. At that time, it was a time of harvest. The people were suffering from poverty and famine, and finally the harvesting season was about to come in, but Rasulullah ﷺ said, we have to go. As a result, all of the hypocrites, what they did was they financially did not support this war, and neither did they go with Rasulullah ﷺ, and they made up many, many excuses. I want to go through a few things regarding some random ayahs referring to that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about the hypocrites, he says, لَوْ أَرَادُ الْخُرُوجَ لَا عَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّهُ وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاتَهُمْ. That there are people he's talking about the hypocrites, but I'm going to put it into our context. There are people that may benefit Muslims physically and financially. They're Muslims too, and they may benefit Muslims physically and financially, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still destined for them to stay away, like he did with the munafiqeen. Why does he do that? He says in the ayah, وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ. He dislikes them to be even doing things for the cause of Islam. He doesn't want to see it from them. So he kept all the munafiqeen behind. So now we really need to retrospect about our situation right now. Fine, it is a pandemic. It's a trial. Prophets were tested. But they were prophets, sahabas, and great pious individuals. Who are we to compare ourselves to them? The ones we can honestly compare ourselves to in these ayahs are those that were kept behind. Those people that had nifaq and hypocrisy in their heart. Because we all wanted to go to the masjids right now in this pandemic. We all wanted to go to the masjids to help out the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala has forced us into our homes in a way we could not even imagine. Now ask yourself, is the pandemic actually stopping us from the masajid, or is it that Allah no longer wants to see us there? We really need to look at our lives and ask this question. Do everything you can right now to still participate in your masajids and in your Islamic centers. Help them out in whatever manner you can, because we never want to be among the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forcefully distanced from his masjid. And in relation to this, we come to the next ayah, which will be the last ayah I'm discussing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the hypocrites whose wealth was not accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this ayah, Allah tells us that their wealth was not accepted and it was rejected by Allah Ta'ala. And one of the causes he has listed for this is, and there are actually a few reasons listed, but let's look at the last few reasons for why Allah did not accept the wealth of the hypocrites. Number one, that إِذَا لَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى, that they would be lazy in performing their salah. They perform it, but they're lazy in performing it. And number two, they would only donate and offer wealth when they were compelled to and forced to offer it. That is why Allah did not accept any of their donations, any of their sadaqah. So what is our situation? Maybe we have donated and offered money in the past, but was it only because we saw the donation box being passed around? Or was it because some sheikh in the front had to ask us for 40 more 5 minutes to donate? Or was it because we were in a really bad situation and we thought, hey, let's just give some sadaqah too? Right now, in this situation, I'll make an appeal on behalf of all of those that are in need in your locality, including the poor, the weak families, the masajids, the schools, the madaris. Keep them alive. Help them out. Many of them are in extreme financial difficulty, and Ramadan is the one month where they get the donations needed to run for the year. They fix out their budget. So do not let the 100 emails you're getting from all these Islamic centers force you to give wealth, because that is a quality of the hypocrite. We may be amidst a situation where we are feeling the anger of Allah Ta'ala, where some of us are even passing away out of nowhere due to this pandemic. So what helps out in all of these situations? It's like I said, sadaqah. No matter how little it may be, we should regularly be giving sadaqah. Whoever you may be giving it to, primarily should go to the poor, then all the masajids. There's a hadith I would like to end off with. There's a hadith in Jami' of Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, إِنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ لَتُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ وَتَدْفَعُ مِيتَةَ السُّوءِ. That sadaqah is something that extinguishes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it repels having a very evil death, a sudden death and an evil death. It repels all of that. So do not be from the ones Allah Ta'ala mentions towards the end of this juz, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَيْنْ أَتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنْ الصَّالِحِينَ. That there were some people that said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, if you make our situation better, if you fix my finance, if I get my job back, if the situation gets better, I will give so much sadaqah in the path of Allah, and I'll be very, very pious. I'll go to the masjid every day. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُم مُعْرِضُونَ. But when Allah does all of these things for them, they are stingy with what they have and they turn away from Allah. Then Allah exposes their nifaq and their hypocrisy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from having the qualities of the hypocrites. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.